Welcome back to our study of Exodus. We are in chapter 34, and we'll begin our reading with verse 17. But just to remind you with what's been happening here, Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord answered him, and he said, I make a covenant, in verse 10, before all thy people, I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. So he's saying, I'm going to make a covenant with you, and you're going to see great marvels. But he went on to say, you know, I've got these things I need you to do. Take heed, pay attention. You're going to take this territory, but be careful who you make covenants with, right? Don't make covenants with strangers in these lands. And then, so he's given these different directions. And picking up with verse 17, he says, thou shalt make thee no molten gods. Now, doesn't that sound familiar? Haven't they done that once before? Don't make any molten gods.
You know, the interesting thing here is he goes up the second line. God has to, I forgot to cut it up. We'll try that again. How's
okay.
that?
Very good.
And so the interesting thing is that he goes up on the mount the second time, and basically God's having to tell him the same things, and he's going to go back and tell them the same things again. This is an amazing thing. God spoke the commandments to the entire nation of Israel. Then Moses went up, and God writes these commandments, 10 commandments, in stone, not to mention all the other things that he had told Moses to write in the book. And then he comes down, and within 40 days, they already have them eyes a bit. So he goes, breaks those stones, and God says, all right, I made the first and you made the second. You make the second. And so he goes back up, and here again, God writes again these tablets of stone. And God reassures him that he's going to go with him, he's going to do mighty things and all that. And then when you go down, and one of the first things he said was, don't make any image. I think they catch on to this with the first commandments, you know. That you have one God, the Lord your God. Don't make any image. You don't know what God looks like. So this is why God did not show up in form when he spoke to them. All they heard was the voice, so they had no pattern to go by. You understand? And so God has said, don't you make any image of me. It's amazing today how people imagine how God looks. And I don't know how God looks. People say, well, I'd like to see the face of God. Well, I don't. Not in this body, because it'll kill it in an instant. You understand? The flesh can't stand in the presence of God. And so what we should be pursuing is to hear God. Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying? I want to hear you. Give me understanding in what you've already said. And then I want to be sensitive enough in the spirit that I hear what you're saying now. You understand? And then if you give your attention to God, you won't be giving it to other gods. And there's more to gods than setting some idol up on them. Mantle or whatever. Anything you put before you that comes between you and God becomes your God. It doesn't matter what it is.
Again. Verse 18. The feast of unleavened bread shall thou keep. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread as I commanded thee, in the time of the month Abib. For in the month Abib thou came out from Egypt.
Now, the King James Version uses the word feast. But I think the proper word would be festival. Okay? It's not that you're pigging out every day. That's not what this is about, okay? And so when he talks about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the unleavened bread was a seven-day feast, but it started with Passover. Passover's on the 14th day of the first month. You couldn't eat unleavened bread on Passover either, okay? And then the seven days following that was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But over a period of years, it just became people just grouped it together. You either call it Passover or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, okay? And in that time, you know, use leaven. Now, this is an interesting thing to me because you're going to see this in other areas as well. What is leaven? Leaven is an active agent that works, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so God is emphasizing that he is not wanting anything working. He's wanting you believing. You understand? And we'll see this as it unfolds in other areas. I don't want you to put your attention on work. I want you to have faith in me. I can do what needs to be done. And so the unleavened bread would just be a reminder. Do you understand? Of what working. No, man lives not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so don't think this is just something that's working. Something that satisfying to you. And everything that God speaks to your heart that he wants you to do, the flesh is not going to like. You understand? So it's not going to be pleasing to the flesh. So there's so much incorporated in this unleavened bread. You understand? It's not, I just don't want you to taste anything good for 7 days. No, it's making a statement. Keep the working agents out. Believe, 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 believe. The just live by what? By faith. Right?
Verse 19. All that opens the matrix is mine, and every firstling among thy cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male. But the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with the lamb. And if thou redeem him not, then thou shalt break his neck. All the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem, and none shall appear before me empty.
All right, here again. Now just stay with this thought, because I believe it's revealing something, okay? The firstborn belong to God. And so if it was, cattle or of the flock, you know, goat, sheep, then these were to be given to the Lord either by sacrifice. You understand? You were to sacrifice the firstborn. All the firstborn, even the males, you understand? The firstborn was God's. You didn't sacrifice people. You redeemed people. Okay? So there was a set ransom money that you gave to the Lord in place of that redemption. You know that word, right? Mm-hmm. These things are pointing to what Jesus is going to do. Now, here's an interesting thing. He said if it's a firstborn donkey, you either redeem it or break its neck. Kill it. Now, what's a donkey? It's a beast of burden. It works. It works. No, redeem the work. Redeem that. And if you're not willing to redeem it, kill it. To me, still trying to convey a message here. And that message is pointing to we're going to have to put our faith in God. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not our faith in what we can do. And I'm telling you, people today have their attention on work. Doing this, doing this, going here, going there. You know, everything is a works mentality. And God is not calling us to work. He's calling us to rest in a finished work. You understand? Now, don't misunderstand me. He's not calling you to be lazy. So don't even go there with me. I detest laziness. Okay? And so that's not the message he's conveying. The message he's conveying is all this firstborn's mine. You either sacrifice it to me or, when appropriate, redeem it. You with me? And I don't want anything there. I'm not interested in the works. I'm interested in the redemption. The faith. You understand redemption is a faith act.
Mm-hmm.
Even under the old covenant. Okay?
Very good. Verse 21. 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. In earing time and in harvest thou shalt rest.
All right, here again. Note this. The leaven works. Donkeys work. No leaven. Redeem the donkey or kill it. Okay? Now he gets here and he says, all right, 6 days you work. Seventh day, you rest. Now, people have made this such a doctrine that they worship a day.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus himself said that the man wasn't made for the day. The day was made for the man. And that is pointing to rest, ceasing from your labor. Now, here's what you have to understand. God worked 6 days and then God rested. Why? He completed the work. Once the work's completed, you rest. Pointing to Jesus, who is going to complete a work, and we're to enter into that rest. And so the emphasis here is on the rest after the work is done. Rest after the work is done. But after that work's done, those 6 days, don't you be working. You be resting in the work, okay? Now, it's hard for me to go here without going to Hebrews. And so we're going to go to Hebrews, okay? And we're going to start in the third chapter of Hebrews. I'm going to ask Heather if she would to read that. And we'll start with Hebrews 3:7 and read through Hebrews 4:11.
Okay. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness.
Now, here's the thing. Listen to what God is saying. This is what he's telling. Listen to what God's saying.
Don't harden your hearts in the day of provocation. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God.
Like this, I'm going to just stop for a minute. Take heed, this is a warning. Lest there be in any of you, now note this, is an evil heart. He didn't say an evil heart of murder, an evil heart of this, an evil heart of that. He said an evil heart of unbelief. God categorizes unbelief as evil. You understand what he's talking about here is the nation of Israel would not enter into the promised land because they saw giants, they saw obstacles, they saw fortified cities. You understand? They were not willing to go in by resting on the word of God. God said, I'm taking you out to take you in. They wanted to come out. They didn't want to go in. Then they wanted to go back where they came out from. And he calls that an evil heart of unbelief. And he said, you take heed. You have an example. Don't go with that. You see what happened to them? They all died in the wilderness. Why? Because they would not rest in the Word of God. They wouldn't rest in it. And we've got to learn to rest in the Word of God and quit trying to do things ourselves, make things happen. See, after they found out what God had to say and the punishment, then they decided we'll go up and we'll fight against the enemy. Moses said, they're going to whip you. The ark of God's not going with you. You're in rebellion now if you do it. And they didn't listen, and some of them got killed. You understand? Trying to take matters in their own hand. You rest in God's Word, not in your abilities. You with me? Okay.
But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end.
Now note that. He put a condition in there. He says we're made partakers of Christ if we hold fast. We have to hold the beginning of our confidence. You have to be steadfast. You don't start in faith and try to finish in works.
Yeah.
And this is what religion will do. You know, you get the guy to tell you, believe the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, and then they want to work you silly. No, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, what Jesus did doesn't need anything added to it. Redemption was complete in Him. Paul had this problem with the Galatians. You know, he goes in, he preaches the gospel to them. They believe in Jesus Christ. And then here you have some religious people that come in behind. And they say, well, that's fine. You believe in Jesus, but now you got to add some works to that. You got to get circumcised. The circumcision was a work. You understand? Rather than believing that Jesus had finished the work, and circumcision's of the heart, not of the flesh now. You understand? They didn't want to believe. People today won't want to believe. Religion doesn't want to believe. Well, we've got to be doing something. Well, here's what Jesus said the work of God is. Believe on the one He sent. That's the work of God. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you exercise your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you rest in the work that He's done, you'll just be going out and telling people about a rest. You won't be working. You rest in while you rest. You're resting in a finished work. You understand? So if you don't get anything out of this, listen to this. Jesus plus nothing. He was enough. He did it. Okay? It's not starting the race. It's finishing the race. A lot of start, but they don't finish. Paul wrote to Timothy, said, some will depart from the faith. Why? Giving heed to seducing spirits. What is that? Don't think of this as a devil with horns and a pitchfork. No, this is ministers who appear as ministers of righteousness trying to get you to turn from something other than unadulterated faith. Add to it. No, you don't add anything to it. You started in faith, you finish in faith. You understand? So you have to be steadfast in what you believed from the beginning. That's what he said.
Do you see why this is so important? For all the people you've run across, and I know you've run across these people, who say, well, if I can just be good enough, or I think I've been good enough, that surely you can't be good enough. You can't do enough. This is why this rest is so important.
If you could do enough, Jesus
He was
failed in his mission, right?
Well, yeah,
you kept doing
him.
That. And get it. Listen, you got to go door to door. I've had that try. I mean, I've had that to try to put a guilt trip on you. Well, I don't take the trips. You understand? My heart is, my conscience is void of offense before God and man. He said, rest in what he's done. He said, be led by the Spirit. And so I choose to be led by the Spirit, not to see how many leaflets I can hand out. Or write down in my diary how many people I witnessed to. I don't even have a diary. Yeah, I don't keep a diary. If you do, fine and well. I let God do mine. You understand? It's going to be accurate. And when I stand before the judge, it's not going to be my writings. It's going to be his.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? You understand where I'm coming from? I'm not against you keeping the diary. Don't misunderstand. I'm just saying, ministers do things to give them bragging rights, and they don't even know they're doing it. They're being seduced into it. And we've got to be alert and stay true to the Lord Jesus Christ. Finish the race. He who endures until the end shall be saved, not he who started.
Want to keep going? While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation.
That's when they provoked God, provoked Moses, you understand, and murmuring and complaining, not putting their faith in God for their provision, okay?
For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses.
Note that.
But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness?
Now, let me put something in here that a lot of people don't understand. Everybody that came out of Egypt didn't die in the wilderness. It was the military men from 20 years old and upward. That's the one who died in the wilderness. There were people who went into the promised land who weren't in that group that did not believe. It was the military that refused to go in and take the land. Not the common person. Not the women and children, you understand. It was the military people. Now, you need to research this and see if I'm telling you the truth. You follow me? And a lot of people just put a blanket on this thing. Well, everybody, that whole nation, that whole generation died in the wilderness. But if you'll go in and read all of it, you'll find that it talks about the military is what died in the wilderness. Okay? Because they wouldn't believe.
And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that we could not enter in because of unbelief.
So what keeps people from entering in to the things God has for them?
Unbelief.
People are waiting for God to do something he's already done. They just won't believe he's done it.
What would happen if we started calling that heart of unbelief? You know, that's an evil heart you got there. I mean, how would that go over? We read that other verse we just read in verse 12. I don't think people realize the magnitude of what they're saying. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of.
So we have a promise.
Mm-hmm.
Of entering into a rest, okay?
For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
The gospel there being good news. They heard the good news, but they wouldn't mix faith with it. And because they didn't mix faith with it, they didn't go in. And so if you're going to go into any area that God has commissioned you to go, it'll be by faith. And if you don't mix faith, even though the provision's there, you won't enjoy the provision. There's a lot of promises out there. You know, salvation is to everyone. Jesus died for the world. But if you look at John 3:16, he says, whosoever believes in him. If you don't believe in him, you don't have everlasting life. And people are saying, well, Jesus died for the world, so all the world's going to be saved. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches opposite of that. He who believes in him will be saved. And so you have to believe in the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you have to rest in what he did. Okay?
For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world.
Now listen to that. The works were finished from the foundation or from the founding of the world. What's he talking about? The Lamb was slain from the very founding of the world. Before Adam was created, all this has already taken place. Redemption's already in place. It's a done deal. It's just going to be acted out. You understand? And so the provision was there from the beginning. This didn't catch God by surprise. Okay?
For he spoke in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works.
Now we alluded to this earlier. God was able to create everything in 6 days. And when he got through with it, he rested the seventh day, and then he didn't get up again and say, oops, I forgot something. He rested. You understand? Jesus didn't leave out anything.
And in this again, if thou shalt enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief.
So there's still a rest. That was a natural promised land that he was taking them to. Now what he means by a land of rest is houses that they didn't build. In other words, they're going in and taking over the enemy territory, live in the houses that the enemy built. They're going to eat the crops that the enemy planted. Do you understand? And so when he's talking about entering into rest, God said, I'm making provision for you. I'm going to give you houses you didn't build. I'm going to give you food that you, all you have to do is just take what the enemy's already sown. Enjoy. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
The provision's there. God's made provision for us through Jesus.
Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Now notice, David prophesied this. How many of you know that David came after Moses? They were already in that promised land when David prophesied this. Today, listen to his voice today. Don't harden to your heart. That message is for us today. You understand? And the rest that he's talking about, the promised land he's talking about, is the provisions that Jesus has made for us, resting in Jesus.
For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?
Now, your translation, if you have a King James, it says Jesus. Jesus is a transliteration of Joshua. Okay? That should be translated Joshua. Well, if Joshua, he's the one that led the nation of Israel into the promised land, right? And so if Joshua would have given them that rest, if that would have been the ultimate rest, then he wouldn't have been talking about another rest. But this is long after Joshua's dead and gone. They're talking about another rest.
There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his.
There you go. So he tells you what the Sabbath is. It's when you stop working and you rest in Jesus, who is our Sabbath. Our Sabbath is not a day. Our Sabbath is a person. And so we rest in what the person has already done. You follow me? And if you're resting in Jesus, then you're not trying to get the favor of God. You're not working at this and working at that and doing this and jumping through all these religious hoops. You just believe that Jesus has done everything that needs to be done, and you rest in it. And that peace of God that passes all understanding will just guard your heart and your mind in what Jesus has done. Even today, with people who, I'm talking about spirit-filled people and all this, they're still trying to work. Now, I have to qualify this. It's not that you don't do things.
That's right.
He tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. To me, what I'm doing right now is not work. You understand? To me, that's not work. It's you're resting in Him. Your dependency is in Him. I don't have to make anything happen. I don't have to sit down and come up with my message. I don't have to prepare a sermon every week. You rest in Him. You listen. You're led by the Spirit. When you're led by the Spirit, all you have to do is just follow the instructions. And then that puts all the responsibility then on God. We're responsible for following the instructions. God is responsible for the performance. God has not called us to perform. And sadly, preachers today have become actors. They're performers. They're celebrities. God wants us to rest. Get the attention on Jesus. I don't have to do anything to make God happy. God is happy, happy, happy. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
Amen.
You understand?
Yes.
And if we just get that revelation, and then we'll quit trying to work to get the favor of God. Well, if I'll pray long enough, if I'll do this and I'll do that, then God will, you know, He'll honor that. It's not how long you pray, it's do you believe when you pray. If you believe when you pray, that may not take 2 minutes or 5 minutes. But do you believe? He said, when you pray, believe that you receive. You receive. When do you receive? When you see it come? No, you got it in your heart by faith. I've got it. I'm not believing for it. I have it. You understand the difference? There's a difference between believing for something and possessing something. Faith possesses. It is persuaded that it already has it. And if you already have it, you're not looking for it to come. It's already settled on the inside of you. And when it comes, it's just icing on the cake. But you've already got it settled in here.
So all the works that people do outside of hearing from God, remember how we study this? They're dead. Their dead works, those are the works that are done without faith. And so what we need to do, as Pete's been saying time and time here, based on this word, is just simply believe. Is there a work to be done? Of course there's a work to be done. But what do? We listen for instructions and we move in God's timing and in His way.
You know, growing up at a denomination I did, the teaching was you have to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? And so, salvation, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, I could understand that one. But then they would say, now you got to get sanctified. Only God knows how many times I've been to the altar, you understand? And I didn't know what sanctified was, and I never had anybody that could tell me what sanctified was. You understand? You just got to get sanctified. But here was what they'd say. It's basically, you got to get all the sin out of your life. Get all the sin out of your life. Well, I'm not capable of that. And neither are you. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, says Jesus is our sanctification.
Yeah.
And so you couldn't get the Holy Spirit now until you got sanctified. First base, second base, third. You understand? So I never could get the Holy Spirit. Now I lied a lot. Are you sanctified? Yeah. I didn't even know what it was. You understand? And so what, you know, what's the explanation? You have to do something, because when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that wasn't enough. I mean, have you ever seen a little phonograph board? You know, they put the hearts up, black heart, full of sin. You understand? You get saved, and then you go to a red heart, but it's got a black dot in it. And you got to get sanctified to get the black dot out. All I knew was sanctification was a black dot. You get that black dot out. Now you can go over here and get that green heart with the Holy Spirit. You have pure heart. And all it does is brings confusion in you. And all those years in that church, I was never good enough to receive the Holy Spirit, not understanding that a gift is a gift you can't earn. You can't earn Jesus, and you can't earn the Holy Spirit. You receive Jesus by faith. You receive the Holy Spirit by faith. You with me?
Yeah.
Jesus got rid of the black dot. You understand? When that heart went from black to red, it was all red. You follow me?
Yeah.
I hope you have to see that little phonograph board. I mean, it's very vivid in my mind. Jesus is your salvation. Jesus is your sanctification. Jesus is your righteousness.
Yeah.
Jesus is your baptizer in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's all in Him.
Yes.
You with me?
Yeah.
Okay, my time's up, so I better stop here.
Okay.
About to get fired up on that flannel graph board.